Welcome to episode 97 of CNBC, the podcast about enjoying beer. I'm Mike.
And I'm Chris, and we also have Jeff with us today.
Yep,
that's him. And we've all got hazy IPAs from our local brew pubs, microbreweries, that we're going to drink tonight. And we're going to talk all things hazy, I suppose. You know, New England style IPAs blew up. The official beer style guide called them hazy IPAs. They're everywhere now. I mean, when I moved to Colorado 3 years ago, I was like, what the hell? There's New England IPAs or hazy IPAs everywhere, every brewery.
That's what I want to ask, though. Is that interchangeable? Because hazy IPAs I've seen, but they've sometimes had the dank or the bitter or the bite, but the hazy has been that they're not clean filtered, and they're literally hazy with the funkiness inside of it.
That's a good question. Yeah, I consider them interchangeable, but I don't know.
I don't think they are, because I've ordered hazy IP, like I just said, and I've gotten different things, like even more yeasty flavor. Versus when I get an NEIPA, it's always an NEIPA.
So here's one point of information. On the Resolute Brewing Company website, they call this beer I'm about to drink a New England IPA, but the can says hazy IPA. Now, have you ever been to a brewery or somewhere that has both a New England and a hazy IPA that are different beers on tap?
Yes, I have.
So that's a counterpoint. I had the point. You have the counterpoint.
I have the counterpoint. I've been to places.
Let's go to the tiebreaker, Jeff, what's your opinion? We'll just take your.
Plus, he's well versed in actual beer knowledge.
I think that the original hazy IPA is a New England IPA, but I think that the style is expanded enough that you can have a hazy IPA that is not New England style.
Okay.
I don't know what I mean by that. I think that, well, there's the hallmark of a New England IPA that is both, it is hazy, but the tasting notes of a New England IPA are very much not Pacific Northwest,
right?
Not They're British juicy. IPA. Yeah, it is like, right. It's juicy,
the juiciness.
Right?
And that's what I'm citrus. Seeing is like they'll be calling IPAs juicy.
Right.
And those typically taste like what I think a New England IPA should taste like. But then there's hazy, and that's
if you have a hazy piney ape IPA, I guess that would definitely not be the same as a New England IPA.
Right. So the one I'm about to have is called What's New, and it's a collaboration with Dawson's Liquors. But it doesn't say it's juicy.
That's a long lasting liquor store / food store chain in the DC metro area.
Is that the same thing as that Dawson's food store? The one that's in Rockville?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Is it the same? Dawson's is kind of like, Dawson's is like an original Whole Foods style of store.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
And they always had good beer, I remember.
Well, this is in collaboration with Dawson's. So there you go.
I'm not sure if Dawson's liquor is the same as Dawson's.
They might be different.
Food, yeah.
5 minutes of prep, guys. Come on.
5 minutes of prep.
So we didn't talk about our breweries again. So let's just hit on where our beers are from. Mike, you said yours was from True Respite.
Yeah. True Respite.
Jeff has beer from Denizens.
Yeah. Denizens Brewing Company out of Silver Springs. Oh, damn it.
Silver Springs.
You committed the cardinal sin of an outsider. And pluralize.
Silver Spring. Okay, so it's a little bit, it's worse than that too. Denizens, if you're in the Denizens parking lot, you could throw a stone at the Silver Spring of Silver Spring's namesake.
Silver Spring, apostrophe S when you just correct. Said Silver Springs that time.
The Silver Spring is right there. Anyhow, so this is the beer I'm tasting, their hazy IPA is from Denizens Brewing, Silver Spring, and it is... not labeled as a New England IPA.
And mine is from Resolute Brewing Company in Centennial, Colorado, just south of Denver proper. And I think they also have a tasting room in Arvada, Colorado, which is northwest of Denver proper. because they distribute their beers during this COVID period from both locations. So their radius of delivery is larger.
It's expanded.
Yes. All right. So let's crack them open.
Oh, that sounds delicious.
This sounds.
Ooh, that smells a little piney. That does not smell juicy.
It's interesting. Juicy, but
mine does look like, does look dirty.
Mine is definitely hazy coming out of the can. It is not a clear.
Ooh, all right, let's put these all up to the camera here. And I mean, I'll get a picture for the Facebook page.
That's the epitome of hazy, right?
Yeah, they're all, ours all look pretty hazy. Mike's maybe a little more than, mine's probably the most, Jeff's looks, Jeff and mine look pretty close.
They all look kind of funky.
Mike's looks the haziest, I would say.
So I've got a big rocky head on this one, too.
Me too. Look, yeah, I mean,
big that's bubble just, head. Yeah,
look at that, and it's going. Just a nice straight line off the top there, too.
Yeah.
Oh, that smells.
Oh, good. Wow, you got it. Yeah. But this smells. Look, I got frost on my nose there.
Dipping the nose in the beer.
But right, this smells like Pacific Northwest.
Mine is so this is the Animal Hazy IPA, and it is all tropical on the nose.
Woo!
Smells like almost pineapple juice.
Okay. Mine smelled kind of piney. It's like lemongrassy. Mm. Wow, that's really good, man.
So that's wow. A description, though, sounds a little long. So on the nose, I think you said piney.
Right.
Taste, you're saying lemongrass.
Lemongrass. And then I got the bitter finish, like... And you can taste the, the yeasty thickness. It doesn't, it's not, what do we call it? Aqueous. It's the opposite of aqueous. It's thick. It's, it's
that,
got.
You get that. Do you get any of the pith? The kind of
you're getting the particulate.
Yeah.
There's
from this one. It doesn't taste as strong as it smells, which is sometimes the case with hazies. I definitely get the pith and a little bit of
this one tastes stronger than the smell. Mine is the opposite of that. Mine gave me this little piney kind of maybe it's more Lysol-y type aroma. There was some lemon in it, but the taste is lemongrass. And now the more it's warming up and the more I'm finishing, that yeast is giving me that, it's more that grassy taste. Oh,
what was yours called, Mike?
Good. What's new? Hazy India Pale Ale.
And this one is called Transparently Trendy Hazy IPA. I like that.
do you got some?
What was yours called?
Oh, so mine is the Denizens Brewing Animal Hazy IPA. Go around.
All I have is 6%.
Okay,
that's the only stat. Oh, 35 IBUs, which is kind of low, isn't it, for a hazy?
It's kind of low for an IPA.
Yeah.
Mine's a 7.1. It's Woo. Got Moutere. I can't pronounce it. I can't pronounce any of these.
E-cons, oh, those are the New Zealand ones. Moutere.
Mosaic and Citra.
Mm. So this.
Oh,
this,
my gosh. This was canned on the 16th. This is pretty fresh, man.
I got a canned date on mine. So mine was canned on the 7th. So this Denizen's Animal. Wow.
Nice. You win.
6%, and you know, you about kind of describe maybe a difference between the aroma and the taste and the mouth and expected mouthfeel. This one is really well rounded, like on the nose, super juicy, super tropical. Like, and I said, it almost smells like pineapple juice. And tasting it, this tastes like what I would say a New England IPA.
Nice,
like the taste, you know, was perfect in sync with the aroma. And they say their tasting notes say tropical fruit, citrus, and juicy, and really nailed on this one for sure.
That's my favorite style IPA. That said, I'm not disappointed that I'm getting this more, this tastes like that blend of Pacific Northwest, but not the smash in the face bitter dankness. It's more light than that, but it's definitely not a New England juicy.
This says, I'm reading on the Denizen's description on their website that it's tropical, citrus rind, and pine sap. I guess maybe pine sap is the very finish of this one.
Pine sap, there's
the hoppiness.
There's more, that's the scent I'm getting, the pine sap. Man, that's a little bit of it, but I just like beer, and I definitely like drinking beer with you guys.
I know. I always tell Mike whenever I talk to him, the one thing that I really miss about Maryland is CNBC and hanging out drinking beers with you guys. Yeah. That's really it. I mean, I lived there long enough that I felt like I got everything else out of living in the area that I could have desired. But, you know, not being able to do hang out and drink beers and do CNBC has been.
Now you don't have to live here and you can still get it.
It's still not the same.
It's not, because Jeff and I are going to go to True Respite and hang out. And we're going to send you pictures and be like, see ya, sucker.
All right. I'm going to I got to make plans to fly out at some point.
Or at least visit with us when you're here, man. Do you know this dude was in town?
I was there for like 48 hours.
So, sorry, Chris, did we get the rundown on your beer?
Transparently trendy, hazy IPA. I would say it's got some of the qualities of a hazy. It had a great kind of tropical notes on the smell. Drinking it, definitely more on the citrus side. So I get some of that pith in kind of feeling in my mouth. Less, I would say, flavorful than I got on the nose, and definitely still more kind of citrusy than tropical, I would say. Although the tropical on the nose just won't go away. Amazing.
So you're both getting most of that New England style with your hazy. Mine's definitely not New England. Mine's more traditional IPA flavors.
This is how this one's going down. I mean, I've almost killed it. So good.
Well, cheers on that, right?
I did like this one more than last week's episode's New Zealand session.
So I have some of these New Zealand hops in mind from last week's episode, and I'm liking the profile there, the combination, and that nice yeasty finish on this is good.
So we kind of talked about this a little bit earlier, kind of the beer community thing, and kind of what the microbreweries bring, you know, in the. Sometimes a sense of community maybe is, you know, outweighs the quality of the beer, the quality of people.
You mean last week when we were talking about that?
Yeah, the last time that we spoke. Yeah. So one thing that I kind of know as we are in this kind of global pandemic lockdown situation is that, you know, is it like the Mr. Rogers quote or something, you know, when I'm paraphrasing, you know, when times are tough, look for the helpers or something like that, you know?
I have not heard that, but I like that.
No, I mean, we'll have to like look it up and see what it really is. It's something like that. But so I've kind of noted like that, you know, in a time like this, you know, I think it brings out the best in a lot of people, you know, in the minority of people, not minorities, in the minority of people, it brings out the worst, right? But in
for like our leadership.
No comment, right? But I think it brings out
a political show.
It brings out the best in a lot of people kind of coming together and helping out your neighbor. And right. What I've noticed in the local restaurant scene here as like, you know, all these food service, you know, restaurant type of places are trying to figure out how they can still be viable and kind of, you know, scrapping together for home deliveries and helping each other out. You know, at the forefront of that scene of this community has been the local breweries.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know what that's, I don't, that could just kind of speak to the guys that are running, you know, the men and women that are running those places. But I'm not sure if like, you know, kind of more to the what's more community than beer. And like, maybe these guys are just kind of the leaders of the community because that's kind of what it's all about.
I agree.
You know, most of the stuff I'm seeing about how we can get food delivered and other things from other kind of just local makers, food service and everything is kind of led by the breweries, which I think is really cool.
That is awesome. And you know, building off of that, like, it's forcing us to think locally for real. Like, there's always been that movement of think, you know, act local, think global.
Yeah.
But nobody's taken the time to act local because they've always been distracted by the day to day. But now when you're forced to be local and the only hiking you're allowed to do is in your neighborhood, well, guess what? You start meeting your neighbors.
Yeah.
And you know what a good way to talk to your neighbor 6 feet distance? With a beer. You know, yeah, and
either side of the fence, right? With a beer in your
right.
In the social distancing, hanging out with neighbors thing. And it literally is that people sitting in their driveways. We're walking around our neighborhood and people just have their lawn chairs set up, you know, 6 or more feet from each other and just spending time. So absolutely. And invariably they got a drink in their hand.
Right.
Yeah.
It's bringing back the, you know, the original kind of pub feel, right? Where it was the pub was the local pub was the center of town and the hub for news and conversation and meeting place. Yeah.
Absolutely. And it's interesting on that and right. And you want to support the local because you want it to be there when life gets back to whatever the new normal will be.
So, well, and that's interesting too, right? What are the impacts that this is going to have? I mean, we can target it to beers. I think there'll be a lot of things, right? But like, what's the impact of this going to be on the beer scene?
Well, I think that the quality will out, right? So the good beers people will continue to engage with, and you know, if you don't have that collective gathering, the places that you're talking about that had the mediocre beers, but it was their location that did it, might go away. And I think you might get a little bit of a leveling out because there was an explosive growth, right?
I think that's true. I think there's definitely going to be the refocusing on supporting local in every form. And, you know, where I live there, as I mentioned, you know, there's more than one brewery and they are just, it's like the center of the community, you know, for when you want to get out and see your neighbors. So that exists, and there's going to be the further strengthening of supporting local, I think, from folks. You know, for myself, I'm privileged to be able to continue to work, and so I can support local right now, and I'm definitely kind of refocusing and thinking about it. So I think it's going to be these places that are already kind of centers of community and shining in these moments of helping, you know, their peers out in the community are going to come out stronger on the other side of this, you know, as long as they are able to offer service now, you know, and stay alive with the support of the community. I think they're come out even the better. I think kind of the highlighting the ones that aren't, you know, maybe aren't the highest quality, and the folks that are, well, technically, are these not the time of opportunity for those who prosper to look for the opportunities, you know, to take over the folks that aren't getting it done? So,
well, right,
is this where you start to see the hyper local brew pub become the local chain? You know,
right? But then deservedly so, because they have a quality product and should take over those empty shells and put in their product in there. Like, you know, when Flying Dog took over Frederick Brewery, it had all the machinations to get the product distributed, but they brought in a better product that then could take that pipeline out.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's definitely had me thinking more local in every aspect. I mean, beer, certainly, I was already there with beer.
Yeah.
But in anything I buy really now, like, I'll definitely, like, reconsider.
Sure.
But part of me wonders though, like, okay, are we allowed to go outside the brew impact?
No.
Never mind. But I think what you guys talk about though, because there's all the local breweries, there already is an innate ability for small startups to come in and do things. And, you know, if they don't survive, other people can come up and start. But then there's a whole other industries that are going to get wiped away because they can't survive this thing. So whereas the corporate, like, you know, a lot of restaurants are going to go away, right? But Papa John's stays open.
Yeah.
Right. You know, the franchises stay open. The haircuttery stay open, but the mom and pop salons are gone.
I mean, I've seen some of that. I can tie that back to my own business, where we've seen some of our competitors who are smaller and like maybe not putting all the effort into, you know, being careful about who they're doing business with and stuff like that, and maybe stretching the boundaries of compliance rules. And like a couple of them have gone bankrupt, right? Like very quickly, within 2 weeks, they were gone. And we're taking that customer base now. So I can do the same thing, I'm sure, is happening in other
places. As a new corporate overlord, I'm loving this.
But that's the downside, right? Is like the little guys, some of those little guys won't make it out of this. A lot of them won't, right? A lot of small business. My brother-in-law runs a small brew pub, and they're not, it's not the best time for them. That's for sure.
Right.
But
Those restaurants that are hooked up with those breweries doing home delivery, all the wait staff is not doing the delivery.
Yeah. Right.
They're trying to get jobs at Costco or Amazon or whatever other supply chains things are still running.
That's the difficult truth. And again, for myself, a privilege to be gainfully employed at this time, and we're tipping well. You know, we're trying, you know, basically right. trying to like take care of the folks that are, you know, doing their part to, you know, to find a way to help take care of us. You know, and I'm not the only person in this position. So this comes down to the community thing. And it is the brew pubs that rely on food, you know, and alcohol sales. You know, maybe that's going to be tricky because who knows when they can start servicing people in their restaurants. But beer's alcohol, alcohol's vices survive, you know, that are doing it well. You know, and continue to foster the community, I think they come out the other side.
Absolutely. I worry about the local, the hyper local hookers, right? Because I feel like that's just.
And Chris is bringing that topic up because the name of my other beer that I did not try tonight is called Scrum and Hooker, which is a reference to a rugby position. Ah. Right, Chris? That's where you're going with that?
Yeah. That's what I meant. The hyperlocal rugby player hookers, like that position.
Exactly. And this was the episode we talked about the milkshake beers, right?
I don't remember.
All right. I hope so, because my quote is tied to that. So thanks for listening to CWC episode 97. You can subscribe to our podcast feed in iTunes or get the podcast directly from our host at cnbcpodcast.com.
You
can email
us at cnbcpodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. I don't know if I even check that anymore, but we'll see what's on there other than spam. We also have a Facebook page, which we do see pop by, facebook.com/cnbcpodcast. You can give us a like there, see what nonsense is going on. You can also see our video episode.
We're approaching 200, so please like us. 90 of those are people I used to date.
YouTube.com/CNBC podcast. You can also follow us on Twitter @CNBC podcast. All those ladies are like, I made the right choice.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he's a neckbeard guy. Fuck him. So to go with the milkshake and the lactose beers from the great governor or former governor of California, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Milk is for babies. When you grow up, you have to drink beer.
Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers.
And drink local good beer. Carry your cup in your hand. Look around, he's a brown now, and the sky is a hazy shade.
At least we have diversity. It's like three white guys
with beards. Well, we have one that's thinner than the others.
That's true. Jeff is way better shaped than the rest of us. Okay. Welcome to episode.
We all have glasses too.
Right, that's what I was saying. We're all like beard glasses, white guy drinking beer. Diversity, because we're in different places. My vodka and lime. I look around, see some brown now.